This Quest for Gold sponsorship is brought to you by ComEd, providing options and resources to businesses looking to make the switch to electric vehicles. Learn more at comed.com/clean.
Welcome to Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are 63 days away from the Summer Games in Paris. Simone Biles continues to do Simone Biles type things 2 months out from the Olympics. Saturday, she posted a 59.5-point score. The U.S. Classic beating the rest of the field by 2 points. Not a flawless performance, but she looks well on her way to Paris 2024. One of the question marks was Gabby Douglas, who's looking to return to the Games for the first time since 2012. She pulled out after 4 events. Suni Lee and Jordan Childs also had strong showings. Connor McClain had to pull out with an Achilles injury. The pool's being built for next month's USA Swimming Olympic trials in Indianapolis. It's the first time the pool is being built inside of a football stadium for this event. We talked a little bit about that in episode 29 of Quest for Gold. Congrats to sailor Maggie Shea, a frequent guest on Quest for Gold. She and sailing teammate Steph Roble have qualified for their second Olympics. The U.S. men's 8-rowing team has qualified a position in Paris. They qualified at a regatta in Switzerland this week. Emma Hayes takes the reins as the head coach of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team next week. She was waiting to complete her current season at Chelsea in London before joining the team, by the way. They did end up winning the Premier League Championship. Sticking with soccer, Real Madrid has reportedly denied Mbappe a chance to play for his home country of France for the upcoming games. Each team can take up to 3 senior players over the age of 23. There had been rumors the world-renowned 25-year-old superstar would be joining the club. That doesn't appear to be the case, though. There's 1 month left to finalize rankings for Olympic golf qualifications. We mentioned last week that Scottie Scheffler is the number one ranked golfer. He had a bit of an issue last week when he was arrested in Louisville trying to drive around a blocked off area on his way to the PGA Championship. Xander Schauffele, who won gold in Tokyo, is in a very good place to take a second seat on the men's side for Team USA. On the injury report, unfortunate situation for silver medal middle distance runner Courtney Freericks. We spoke to her back in episode 33. Her Olympic hopes for a third Games were dashed this week. She had to undergo ACL surgery. She did it while hitting a water jump for the steeplechase. Unfortunately, it's an injury that will set her back several months. Also, 48-year-old gymnast Oksana Shuzovitina of Uzbekistan was hurt warming up during a floor exercise and missed out on qualifying. She will not be participating, and get this, it would have been her 9th Olympics. She's won 2 medals, one in 1992, another in 2008. Paris Olympic officials plan to run a rehearsal of the opening ceremony on the River Seine in April. That got postponed due to weather. They were supposed to do it again May 27th. The river's still too high. It's unclear when they'll attempt a third go-around. This week, by the way, we are 100 days away from the Paralympics in Paris. This week's Athlete Spotlight on Quest for Gold features Marco De La Rosa, who will be competing in his second Paralympics this summer for Team USA in parachuting. This veteran had big plans when he joined the military in the early 90s. He trained at Camp Pendleton.
I was going to stay in, and me and a buddy already had talked about it. We're going to become drill instructors, or try to become drill instructors, and then just make it a career. And if we didn't make it, I was going to become a state trooper back in Illinois. Not a regular cop, but a state trooper. Yeah. And then, so when I got shot and everything, I was like, man, I have to start all over and think of new things, and it sucked.
You heard right. In 1993, while going to a store with a friend, De La Rosa tried to break up a robbery and was shot in the back.
It was all instinct. I mean, everybody asked me, would you do it again? And, like, you know what? I didn't think. Like, I walked in, I saw somebody being robbed. I grabbed the guy, but I didn't see his buddy. So I was kicking the guy's buddy, shot me in the back. And people asked me, they're kind of scared to ask, but it's okay. It's like, it felt like somebody poked me with something really hot and hit me with a baseball bat. So I felt like I was burning. So I kept on reaching, like, what's going on? And my legs felt numb, like it was just going zoom, zoom, and I couldn't get up anymore. So I couldn't find the blood. When I reached like this and I pulled it forward, all this was dark blood. So, like, I knew it was deep. Like, man, I'm hit. So my buddy, everybody ran. So when they came back, everybody had a scared look. And I'm like, no, I'm not dying because I could talk. I'm in shock. And like, call base, call the cops. And I had short hair, so when the cops came, they thought I was a gang member. They're like, what gang are you with? I'm like, no, I'm in the Marine Corps. And one of the cops was the 03, was a grunt. Because I'm an 03, an 03. And, like, oh, and I told him everything that happened. Like, and he took me to the hospital, and that's it.
Now confined to a wheelchair, Marco's real battle began.
Yeah, for 2 years, I did go through a depression. I didn't want to talk to nobody, and everybody tried to give me help. I was like, come on. Like, an able-bodied person telling me, how do you know how I feel? Like, no, bro. Yeah, so moved around, talked to other veterans, other guys in wheelchairs, and then ended up in San Antonio. And San Antonio has a big community, veteran community. So peer-to-peer, and let it know what I went through, and there was like a lot of similar stuff. Like, man, yeah, locking yourself up in a room with loud music. A lot of us did that. And like, I didn't even know it. How'd you do that? Like, it's just didn't want to block out the world.
What was the lowest point?
Drinking. I was spending all my money, drinking like almost every day, doing nothing. And so like, my house was a mess. Like a mess.
But with a little encouragement from his friends and help from fellow veterans, he was able to pull out of it by learning a new skill.
This was just a fluke. I went into the VA to do my annual eval, and they had an exhibition. And so I was going, and they had an air rifle and air pistol. And everybody was shooting the air rifle because everybody's comfortable with the military. So they told us the rules about the pistol, one-handed. Like, I'm going to try it. And it was five of us. And we all sucked. But the loser had to buy everybody coffee. That's $25. Yeah, so I got good really quick. Yeah.
From that point forward, Marco knew his new calling.
Did everything I was taught in the Marine Corps, coming to shooting the sight alignment, squeezing and all that. And it helped me out. And then after I did well, I went to Los Angeles and I met some Paralympic coaches there. And they gave me more and more details on what I should do, what should I train for and stuff. And I did it and my scores went higher. And then I got a new coach and it went low again. And it was just up and down. But mainly the Marine Corps, you know, the way they taught me is like what I used.
Marco made his Paralympic debut in Rio, but missed out on the last cycle.
After everything you went through, though, in an incident where you were shot with a firearm and you're a shooter, like, you didn't get scared away by that.
My mom asked me that too, and he goes, man, you still love the Marines and you still love guns. And like, I was good at it. I was good in the Marine Corps, and I'm good at it now. Like, I just love it. I know how to take them apart. I know how to put them together. And I see it as a sport. And it makes me tranquil because I got really focused and stuff. Even when I go hunting, I make sure that animal gets hit, it drops, that's it. It doesn't suffer or nothing.
But he admits he lost some of his focus trying to qualify for Tokyo.
In Tokyo, I messed up myself because shooting is a lot of mental to it. And I put a lot of pressure on myself. So we come forward forcing the shot. So I like try to force it, and I missed it by a few points, and it was in Australia. And the guy who took it, I was like, man, I could beat him all day. Like, what happened is I beat myself mentally.
And you're in a much better place this time
around? Yeah. I read a lot of books and stuff, and now my shooting's like, phew.
Has the mental health aspect been, it seems like it's improved even over the last 4 years. The USOPC has obviously invested a lot of resources. They're really focused on mental health. Have you taken advantage of that?
Yeah, they recommended some books and how some people deal with it. What to focus. Mainly is like, don't think on the negative, because that will get you. Like, man, like, you start thinking about it, it'll get you. So it's all positive stuff.
Since then, he's honed in on his mental sturdiness.
Back in Australia, we call it forcing the shot. It's like, you see a perfect shot and everything, you squeeze it too hard, and as long as you squeeze that thing, the whole pistol moves. And you know what's happening is, but you want that shot so bad, you do it, pop. And you just, now when you're focusing and reading those books, it tells you, relax, do everything the same. Then it works out. And have confidence. My process is seven steps. And so I have to stick to the seven steps. I can't think of anything else. So it's lifting, sight alignment, bring down, hold, squeeze. Anything else? Like, I can't think, oh, there's a person behind me talking. It's like, I can't think of nothing else. You start doing that, you just lost your focus. And then I'll blink your eyes too much. Like, your shot's just going to go everywhere else. So you got to really stick to that.
As he awaits Paris, Marco continues to train with veterans at the VFW, where he uses the sport to try to help them out, just as it helped him out.
So I'm helping some of the guys out. And see, what I do, there's some guys that like, one of the guys that just came to shoot with us, his wife left him, he lost his job, his kids don't talk to him, so he was suicidal. So I go, look, come shoot with us. And as he was starting to shoot, he started seeing how we're not treating him any different. He's Air Force. So a bunch of Marines and Army guys start bashing on him and stuff, and that's what he needed. He goes, man, I need to feel that camaraderie again, like a sense of the belong. He goes, yeah, man, like, and shooting helps you because you're going to focus. That your PTSD and everything is going to leave. Don't worry about it, just in time. And now he's happy. He's out with us doing stuff, and But see, if we weren't there, if we didn't do this, that guy would probably be drinking and really thinking about killing himself.
It's become a popular place.
Fridays, I bring tacos and we set up targets and we get most of the inpatients that are in there to come out of the rooms and to start shooting and stuff and the camaraderie gets out. So it gets gotten big. Before it was like 2-3 guys. Now it's like I have to get 2 dozen tacos and so someone has to get the coffee and stuff and it's just everybody shooting the whole line. 5 targets are always taking up.
Marco's planning to do some sightseeing once he gets to France.
I want to go to Belle Woods. You know about the Marine Corps? Okay, back in World War II in the Belle Woods, there was some Marines that were surrounded by the Nazis. And they knew they were going to die. So the Nazis charged. And knowing they were going to die, they came out howling and screaming and everything. So the Germans called them Teufelhunden, devil dogs. Okay. And so we got that name from that. So they got scared and they retreated.
We'll continue to follow Marco on his journey to Paris as we march closer and closer to the Summer Games in France. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you next week right here on Quest for Gold.